I want to show you something else that's in that chapter that really speaks to me. We're going to start at verse number 1, and I'm just so excited about everything going on around here. Verse 1, Exodus chapter 3. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. Of course, that is a picture of you and me. See, when he comes into our life, the Bible says that we're supposed to be baptized with the Holy Ghost and with fire. We're God's bush. And he does not erase you any more than he erased the bush. The fire burned in the bush, and yet the bush retained its structure. The bush retained its personality. It was not erased. It wasn't burnt to a crisp. And so God wants to come into us and let us be his burning bushes. He does not erase you. When you read 1 and 2 Peter, guess who you see in those epistles? You see Simon Peter. God did not erase Peter. When you read the epistles of Paul, who wrote a great deal of the New Testament, who do you see? When you read the epistles of Paul, yes, you see the Holy Ghost, but you also see Paul, the apostle. God did not erase Paul. Let me tell you, you are so valuable to God that God wants to anoint you in your uniqueness, not stamp you out, not erase you, but put an anointing on your uniqueness to reach others. You are God's burning bush. Praise God. Isn't that wonderful to know how much he puts a premium on our uniqueness? There's nobody like you. You're the only you in the whole universe. And so that makes you extremely valuable when you add the anointing of God. You are really something to behold. How's that for some encouragement? Watch this, verse 3. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. And I want you to especially notice verse 6. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Now, watch this in verse 15. And God said, Moreover, unto Moses, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. You see a pattern. Something's being said over and over again. If you didn't catch it, you'll catch it this time. Verse 16. Go and gather the elders of Israel together and say unto them, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham. Somebody say Abraham. Abraham. Of Isaac. Somebody say Isaac. And of Jacob. Somebody shout Jacob. Appeared unto me, saying, I have surely visited you and seen that which is done to you in Egypt. Okay, if you counted them, there were three places where he said, I am the God of Abraham, I'm the God of Isaac, and I'm the God of Jacob. So I ask you a question. Why did God make a big deal about it? Why did he use those expressions? Why was it so important that in one chapter he would refer to it three different times? I'm going to help you answer that. All right? I'm going to call it what God is after. What God is really after. Would you lift your hands? Let's ask him to give us light, understanding. Hallelujah. Lord, thank you so much. We've enjoyed your presence today, Lord. We've enjoyed the anointing of God in worship, Lord. We've enjoyed, Lord, people quoting your word, Lord, dynamically quoting your word, every one of them, Lord. We've enjoyed, Lord, the celebration of discipleship, Lord, members receiving their, Lord, their certificates, their diplomas, Lord. We've enjoyed the presence of God, the music, the worship, Lord. We thank you for your presence. Why don't we thank him for his presence? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, we worship you today. Would you give the Lord a hand praise? You may be seated. Love you. Appreciate you. Thank you, and it's great to see Sister Gwen today. God bless her. She is a techie's techie and runs our media department with great gusto, and she helps us in so many very, very special ways. Please let her know how awesome it is to see her back with us. Amen. So, if I asked you to describe me to somebody. You know, if you were witnessing or to somebody, or you were inviting them to church, and you said, you got to come in here, I'm a crazy pastor. You got to come and hear this guy. He's a case, which is true. How would you describe me? You would probably say, he's tall, dark, and handsome. That's, you know, I'm a real optimist when I say, I'm an optimist. He's very thin, dark-haired, blue eyes. Have mercy, Lord. I hope you never have to physically describe me to anybody. But you wouldn't say probably any of that because you would want to be honest. So, if you said to them, you know, they might know my wife, see, you know, because of our business dealings and so on. So if you said to them, well, you know Cindy Meadows, right? I mean, she writes articles in the ladies' magazine. She's a member of the ladies, what's it called, honey, ladies of the word. And she writes these articles, amazing articles. She's a prayer warrior, an intercessor. She is our pastor's wife. So her husband's name is Pastor Meadows. I mean, that's who she's married to. So if you describe me by referring to her, you would tell people a lot. Because I don't think that gal up there would just marry anybody. All right? You understand what I'm saying? I know her well enough. I know she wouldn't marry just anybody. And sometimes I wonder why she married me. Okay. All right. Oh, tall, dark, and handsome. Keep it up. Keep it up. Keep talking. Keep talking. She's fabulous on steroids. So all of a sudden, you told them a lot by describing me by my relationship to her. There's a lot of folks in this town that know Ember. And if you were describing me, you would say, well, you know Ember. Oh, yeah, I mean, everybody knows Ember. Goodness sakes alive. Extrovert, volleyball player, super sales rep. Volleyball player, soul winner, a lover of kids, unofficial fellowship director. Thank you, Brother Tim. Unofficial fellowship director. Brother Tim's pretty well assumed those duties, but hallelujah. Oh, and by the way, Ember's daddy is Pastor Meadows. When you used that, you all of a sudden told them something, maybe several somethings, when you used a relationship to describe me. So, well, okay, Pastor Meadows' daughter's Ember, and Pastor Meadows is Ember's daddy. All of a sudden, you told them a world. My wife used to say, Ember Meadows is just Mike Meadows with a dress on. Okay? Or if you were trying to describe me, and you would say, one of the things that I love about Peggy, she'll sometimes talk about Brother Kilgore. James Kilgore, Sister Peggy, as far as I'm concerned, he's one of the greatest pastors we've ever had in this movement, was James Kilgore. He was a prayer warrior. He was a faster. He was a soul winner. He was a major, major figure in the pulpit, James Kilgore. But she says, he was my pastor. How many years, Sister Peggy? 15. See, and now, if you didn't know that, now you know something. You took a relationship. And you we used it to describe somebody. Now we know a lot about why Peggy is so special. I'm going to tell you what, this gal here named Peggy, she won't tell you this, but she's one of the most awesome people in our church. She works hard, even on days when she doesn't feel good. She'll work her little fingers to the bone. She does more things around here. She has a heart as big as Texas. Praise God. And she's a blessing to us. She's a blessing to you. But now I know one of the reasons why she's so special. For 15 years, she had a relationship with a great man of God who was her pastor, James Kilgore, who was also assistant general superintendent of the United Pentecostal Church for many years. One of the greatest men of God that I have ever known. And now you see, when we refer to him and refer to that friendship and that relationship that he had, there is Peggy being one of his people and one of his sheep and one of his faithful members. We understand something about why Peggy has had an impact on all of us. Okay. So there's something beyond, there's something way beyond religion. Some folks think that when you walk into a church, that makes you religious. When you walk into a church, that makes you a Christian. I can't find that in my Bible. I love these days walking into a grocery store so I can look at everything I can't eat. But walking into a grocery store doesn't make me a box of crackers, which I love and miss. Right? I've walked into some garages, where they work on cars. And matter of fact, I take my vehicles often, well, from time to time over to Reichart, but when I walk into their garage, I didn't turn into a car because I walked into their garage. Walking into a church doesn't make you or me a Christian. It might mean that we have some hunger. It might mean that we have some desire, but just walking into a building doesn't transform us. What am I saying? Why did God keep saying to Moses, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob? He was saying the whole deal, what I am after is not some religious affiliation. I'm not after building a religious organization. But here's what I'm after. I'm after a relationship with people. He wants to tell us. You might be down on yourself some days. We sat down with that wonderful couple that we were trying to encourage a couple weeks or so ago. Maybe it's been almost 2 weeks. And they started in kind of putting themselves down. And I stopped the precious sister. And I said, look, I believe the hand of God is on your lives and that you are being used of the Lord. Don't put yourself down to me. You're talking to the wrong person. And I just began to encourage them. So did Sister Meadows. Listen, I got some fresh news that you haven't heard yet. What did we spend? About an hour and a half, 2 hours with them, something like that. They shared their hearts in their brokenness. They were trapped. They didn't know what to do. But since we met with them, there's been a major breakthrough in their lives. I mean, a life-changing breakthrough. Oh, praise God. And God has smiled on them and given them direction. And I'm just praising God for that. But I was there to encourage them. They were sort of putting themselves down because they'd kind of been through the ringer. But listen, folks, we have to have an encouragement ministry. Anybody ever overdose on encouragement? Nobody. And I've been here several years. It's come up to me. Pastor Meadows, please don't encourage me anymore. I can't take anymore. I can't handle it. I'm overdosing on encouragement. If you will have an encouragement ministry, I was telling this to the ministers last Sunday night. If you will have an encouragement ministry, you will be valuable wherever you go. Nobody gets enough encouragement. You know what God was saying to Moses? Moses, I'm the God of Abraham. I'm the God of Isaac. I'm the God of Jacob. I want a relationship with you. Praise God. Somebody shout yes. If we understand that the core idea of Christianity. See, I got people here. If you'd let me spend 15 minutes with you every week, I could change you in minutes. If you would listen to me and do what I'd ask you to do, I could change your life forever. I'm not saying that lightly. It's taken me decades to learn how to do that. But you're here, and I'm glad you're here. But you could leave out here. I've seen this happen in revivals. Holy Ghost fall on somebody. Brother Mike, the Holy Ghost fell on you this week. Come up here, would you, Brother Mike? I told him to be ready to share. This is an amazing story. But you see, God has come back into Mike's life in a new way. He was just off track a little bit. He wasn't far away. God has drawn him and Nicole, and they're beautiful kids, and now their kids are praying in the altar. Nicole, I'm so proud of your kids. Amen. And Brandon's been here numerous times, and God's after Brandon, trying to draw him here and move in his life and heart. And God, I've told Mike, I believe everybody has an assignment. Have you ever heard me preach this? Everybody has an assignment, and one of your major assignments is to be a witness. You have a sensitivity when you're praying, Mike. And you're called to be a witness, a soul winner. And so God used him this week. He's got a fresh relationship with God. You see, it's not putting our hand on the Bible. If I could be bold, it's not how many Hail Marys you say. It's not many Our Fathers that you pronounce. What did Jesus say? Don't pray and say things because you said it repetitiously and it's going to have meaning. It's not that. What is Jesus really after? He wants to build an amazing relationship with you and me. And that's why he said to Moses, I am the God that had a relationship with Abraham, and I knew Isaac, and we were friends, and I knew Jacob. Amen. I'm the God of Jacob, the God of Isaac, the God of Abraham, and I'm really after, not religious affiliation, I'm after relationships. Well, man, he called me. He's all broken up. What was I doing? No, I was on my prayer road. I had to pull over off the road. And he began to share with me this story. And I said, be ready to testify.
Hallelujah. And I was hoping you forgot. It don't matter how many times you get up here. When you first hear your voice amplified through a PA, it's like, well, turn it down, Tim. I'll try to make this quick. Through this fast, this whole week, the first week of it, you know, initially you didn't feel... the physical feeling that you would if you were fasting food completely. So I started thinking for the first few days, man, is this really going to do anything? And then the latter part of the week, I started feeling it then. the physical, I guess, loss. But anyway, this whole week has been off. Man, I would forget things at work. I'd forget to do things at my job that could be disastrous. You know, create accidents, pulling out in front of people, and different things that I normally don't do. And all week, it was just pretty much terrible, really. But anyway, I think it was Thursday. Was it Thursday night? Did I call you Friday? Yeah, okay, so it was Thursday evening. It was getting close to my bedtime, 7 p.m. But not really. I think it was closer to 8, maybe. But anyway, I sat down on the couch, and Nicole offered to, the only thing that we've been using to occupy our times periodically is the Andy Griffith Show. It's a clean, old clean show. But I've been getting burnt out on Andy Griffith. So she said, let's turn on some preaching videos. So I said, I don't care. Yeah, you know how you are when you're in your own carnal mind. Yeah, I'm tired. I'm ready for a bit, whatever. So she turned on a message from Lee Stone King that was from about a year ago, I think it was, roughly. And at first, I just kind of was listening to it, browsing my phone, whatever. But then I started getting into it and paying attention. And in a nutshell, what I gathered from it and what he was talking on was about the church and how back when Titus destroyed Israel and how the north and the south was divided and the good kings and the bad kings and so on. And then eventually he destroyed it. He talked about the temple and how it wasn't supposed to be destroyed, but it got shot up with the fiery arrows. And talked about in the scriptures in Ezekiel where no stone, the prophecy of it, the rebuilding of Israel and things like that. I know I'm forgetting a lot of things, but I'm just trying to speed through it. About the gold, how the gold melted, every brick was overturned, from where they scavenged the gold. So anyway, I got a revelation, even though I didn't feel the Holy Ghost, just sitting at my house. I mean, a light bulb went off. In 1998, I think it was, I was 16, and that's my first experience with water baptism and then feeling the Holy Ghost. I wasn't raised around it. I'd never been to an apostolic church. So me being as young as I am, the whole time you always hear people talk about revival and it's the end time and then God's going to pour out his spirit upon all flesh and all that. But for whatever reason, I had this block, this mental block that thought from the beginning of time, from the book of Acts, that the church had always been, this is the way, and then false religion, eventually came along. I didn't really fully understand the Azusa Street revival. And then all of a sudden, just something that he said, when he started talking about the church, when it went into the dark ages after Israel fell, it dawned on me that, wait a minute, for the last 100 years compared to the previous 1800 years, that's just a day or a drop in the bucket compared to all that time that had went by where God didn't move. I mean, if I'd have been alive 200 years ago, the opportunity and the chances of us being saved were really, really slim. And then it just dawned on me. I'm like, we are in the end time. We are in the end time. It is, So even though that was exciting to me, I didn't think a whole lot about it other than just, thank you, Lord, for that understanding. So the next day, I was at work. And I work in a not-so-pleasant neighborhood. So you constantly got to be watching, pay attention to what you're doing. Of course, while you're doing your job, you got to watch for power lines and things of that. And my focus has been off all week. And then I put in for a transfer to Georgesville Road. There's a location for the city at Georgesville Road. It was closer to my house. It's closer to here. If prophetically speaking, I ever move to this side of town, I'll be closer to work and to church.
All right.
So this Monday, I'm transferring there, and it's my first time there. Well, the manager there, I've had previous experiences with him when I worked at my old job. So I had this old coworker that I had talked to before I had fell away from the Lord. I had worked with him, and he was the boss at the Georgesville Road location. So I called him up just, I didn't feel led to call him. I just wanted to ask him his opinion about this location. That's all, basically, and his opinion of the manager. So I call him up, and we have our little talk about his opinion on him, how, you know, he's an okay guy, yada, yada, yada. So he said he had to get off the phone. Well, right before he said that, I just felt led to tell him about this message. I had no intentions on talking about the Lord to him or this Lee Stone King message or the revelation that I had of it. But I didn't get 10 words into it. And he says, Mike, I got to call you back. My boss is calling me. I said, okay, Ed. That's his name, Ed. In case you didn't know. Andy. So I just let it go. You know, I just kind of lackadaisical got off the phone with him and said, okay, well, call me back, or the next time I feel, you know, the opportunity, I'll call you back and talk to you then. I was just going to let it go. So when I got off the phone, it started bothering me. It started drawing on me. It started bothering me. The Lord was dealing with me about finishing this conversation with him. So I tried my best to let it go. 10 or 15 minutes went by, and I said, you know what, I'm going to call him back. So I went to call him back, and as soon as I called him back, another city truck pulled up behind me, and a driver was waving at me. And it's Friday. Friday days are usually a little slower, and I knew it wasn't anything important. He just wanted to goof off or say hey or do something dumb. So I said, Ed, hang on, I got to call you back because there's a driver back here flagging me down. So I got off the phone with him for a second time. And when I got off the phone with him that second time, from the time I got out of my truck to walk back to this other driver's truck, I knew in my mind that it was an obstruction of the enemy. And if you knew how I am mentally, and especially coming out of a recent period of being away from God, your flesh learns to justify and reason things. If things happen in life, there's got to be a reason behind it. There's got to be explanation. There's no superstitious. There's no, you know, miracle or miraculous thing. Trying to explain why the sky's blue. And I know that's a far extreme, but that's my mentality sometimes on things. And from that walk from my truck to back there, I knew that it had to be of the enemy, because it wasn't just a coincidence that his boss called and got me off the phone. And then when I called him back, I'd made my mind up. I called him back, and then this driver pulls up behind me. So I hurried up, went back there, did my thing with him to get him on down the road, and then I walked back to my truck, and I said, I'm going to call him back. So I called him back. I finished the story basically like I just explained and described to you, because I know from before I backslid talking to this guy, he believes in the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues, water baptism in Jesus' name, and repentance. Now, in previous conversations, I know he's reached up to the infilling of the Holy Ghost. He told me before he never could receive the Holy Ghost, or he never experienced it, talked in tongues, but he believed it. And then, of course, that's when I went downhill and separated from the guy. So I called him back, told him all this, told him my testimony. I told him about how my kids came in. I told him about how my girls got baptized, received the Holy Ghost. Told him about my own personal experience, you know, while I was away from the Lord, and how he started to draw me back. And I felt, because I had already knew, he's a history buff. He knows the Old Testament very, very well. And I figured that he might enjoy this. And I wanted to obey God and what I felt tugging at my heart. And I wasn't going to allow the first phone call to get interrupted. And then after the second time it happened, I had made my mind up, you know what, I'm going to finish this whether he needs to hear it or not. So I did, and once I did, he told me that he began to explain to me how he had been going to a Baptist church here recently. He used to live in Gallipolis, so he was 2 hours from here. He drove it every day from work. Well, then he moved to Grove City. Well, since I've talked to him last, he's moved from Grove City to Alkaia Road. So he's getting closer. So he told me that he moved there, and that he had been going to a Baptist church, and that his granddaughter, who is 11 years old, I think, started making the comments to him last week that she was getting bored and losing interest in going to church. And I know that he enjoys this kind of atmosphere and environment. His wife, he allows his wife sometimes, you know, to hinder him and make him moves on his own. So I started telling him about the church, the youth group, the how I got two kids, you know, two daughters that are close to their age. And what I didn't know is he's got an 18-year-old grandson. And this happened later on when I touched base with him yesterday. I didn't even know he existed.
So you felt quickened to do this, Mike?
Yes, I felt quickened. So anyway, after the phone call was over, he told me he would talk to his wife about it. And as soon as I did that, the Holy Ghost fell on me. I started crying. I couldn't talk in English. I had to stop my truck.
Did you hear that? Did you hear what he said?
I had to stop my truck because I couldn't focus on it. And
the Holy Ghost fell on him.
Yeah, I did.
And you started talking in tongues.
Yes, I did.
In the big truck.
It was the least expected thing ever, honestly. And I haven't had a touch from God like that in a long, long time. And it wasn't expected. But I do believe that because I was obedient upon the drawing, that he blessed me for it. And finally, when I came back to and I finally got under my own, felt like I could control it some, I called the pastor, explained to him. As soon as I started talking to him, it started happening again. I had to keep pausing because I couldn't quit talking in tongues. So after that was done, I called my wife and shared the same thing with her. And I started crying again. I had to keep stopping in the middle of the conversation. So it's an amazing thing when you least expect it, as long as you put your foot down and go, you know, go on. The draw and the tug of your heart, then the Lord will bless you for it.
Is that exciting? I told you I probably wouldn't preach very much. You hear what he's saying? He's got a brand new relationship with God, and out of that is flowing an anointing and a sensitivity. He is the God of Abraham. He is the God of Isaac. He is the God of Jacob. He wants to build a relationship with you and use you in an unusual way in this hour. Oh, come on, let's lift our hands up and glorify God. Hallelujah. Oh, I give you praise, Lord. I give you praise. Thank you, God. This is a key to what God is really after. Amen. It's not rules. It's not strictures. It's not organization. It's not your money. It's your heart. It's a relationship with you that becomes so vibrant and full of power that you've got to talk to somebody about it. And when you do, Jesus will be ignited in you. Praise God. Oh, man. This is not only what God is after. It is the key to our soul winning. Do you know that we have made progress in the spirit world? I don't know about you, but this has felt like one of the most difficult fasts I've ever been on. I didn't realize how much I love cheese. Thank you, Nevin, how much I love meat. Or I, as Brother Urshan, the old Brother Andrew, you like a meat, you love a Jesus, but you like a meat. Hallelujah. You like your car, but you love a Jesus. Praise God. And he would correct people when they would use that word love a little bit too loosely. You love a Jesus. You like your car. You like your house. You like your wife, but you love a Jesus. I'm telling you what, that's what this is all about. And I have to constantly... Let me tell you this. You know I have a very soft, soft teddy bear heart, right? I am so intense. Do I have a witness? Do you think that might be true? I'm so passionate that I believe the Lord's trying to give us keys to the harvest. And let me tell you one of them. It's simply this. You have to cut yourself back a little bit, because in our intensity, in our passion, we can scare people. Because sheep are skittish. People are easily stressed out in this generation. And when we come on too strong, what are you saying? I'm saying, just as God says, I'm the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. I want to build a relationship with you, Moses. The key to the harvest is not pressure. The key to the harvest is you and me going out there and building relationships with people. Loving, gentle, forgiving, kind, full of goodness type relationships, where when that happens, we've built a bridge over troubled waters. When Cleveland Becton, does anybody remember Cleveland Becton? When he was playing for the Stamps Baxter Quartet, and he was training, he was teaching, and he was a great musician, and he went to unlock the door that day. I've heard him tell this story in person. And when he went to unlock that door, he heard the Holy Ghost call his name audibly, Cleveland. All of a sudden, it dawned on him. It wasn't his talent that God was after. God wanted to have a personal relationship with him. Cleveland Becton rose to become one of the great evangelists, and later one of the great pastors, and later one of the great leaders, general secretary of the United Pentecostal Church. But it was when God called his name audibly, he stopped. He actually fell to his knees and began to weep and pray and prayed through. So that day became the turning point of his life. I don't know about you, but I know that I get so fired up about everything. I get so passionate. I have to often cut myself back. It wasn't Mike's intensity. It was his sincerity. He's in a new relationship with God, and his children have been filled with the Holy Ghost. I think all of them, almost all of them, some of them, and there's more to come. Amen. Baptized in Jesus' name. And both Nicole and Mike renewed in the Holy Ghost. And out of that relationship is coming an anointing. Somebody say yes. Yes. Somebody jump up and say, preach it.
Preach it.
You know some people. You know some people. You know, I was teaching a Bible study to this couple years ago in Fond du Lac. And they had this Doberman pincer. Am I saying it right? Doberman pincher. Big dog. Big black and brown dog. And his name was Major. Listen, folks, he definitely was a major pooch. He was scary, but he was so friendly and so affectionate. And I got this thought. This is probably really humble, but I thought, you know what? I've got to build a relationship with Major to win this couple. And I, no kid, I'm kid you not, I was putting doggy cookies in my overcoat. And when I would come in the house, that dog dude would do the FBI on me. He would do the CIA. He would find those cookies every time. I ended up winning Major and winning that master and his wife and their children to the Lord because I built a relationship with their pooch. You know what we try to do? We try to debate people into the kingdom. We try to hassle. We try to argue them. We try to, you know, just drown them in scriptures. We try many things. But I want to tell you, one of the keys to the harvest is the key that God gave Moses. I'm not just the God of everything and everybody. I am the God of Abraham. I had a relationship with Abraham. Does anybody know what Abraham was famous for? Most famous for. One of the most famous things about him, beside being the father of the faithful, he was an altar builder. And often when you read of him in Genesis, you'll find a mention of the fact that he went to certain town and he built an altar there. He left there. He traveled somewhere else, Gina. And when he got there, he built an altar there. What are you saying? When God said, I am the God of Abraham. I'm the God of the man that was famous for building altars. Come on, lift your hands and just love on him a little bit. Oh, praise God. Your prayers, your prayer life is one of the keys to reaching the harvest. We've got to build altars like Abraham built altars because he's the God. He's the God of Abraham. Wonderful God. Hallelujah. He said, I'm the God of Isaac. Many things we could say about Isaac, but does anybody remember this? Never. Do you remember this? When he came to his father's old wells and the Philistines had stopped them up with dirt. Does anybody remember that? I'm sure Evan does. Do you remember that? The Philistines had stopped those wells with dirt. What does the Bible tell us that Isaac did in Genesis 26? He redug the wells of his father Abraham. He got after those wells that had flowed with water, and he dug out all the dirt and all the dead cats and all the Campbell tomato soup cans and everything that had been thrown down. He redug the wells. You know what Brother Mike has done? He's come back to the house of God. He's come back to the church. He's come back to the Lord. And he's redug some wells. And now there's an anointing. I don't know if you saw him here yesterday, but there's an anointing on him when he prays. We hand him the microphone every so often now. Why? Because there's an anointing on him. He has a new relationship with God. Hallelujah. He's not just the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He's the God of Mike Jones. Because he walks in relation. Come on, let's love God. I'm almost done. Let's love God. God wants you to build a relationship with him, to know his voice, to understand his leading. This is the purpose of God. That's what he's after. Not to build a great religious organization, but to be in a relationship with people who know his voice. Praise God. And so, to be the God of Isaac to us, we have to come back and redig some wells. Sister Gina, I'm not sure yet what the answer is for your grandkids specifically. But I know that you came back to the Lord and you have redug some wells. I know that these kids and these grandkids have a grandma that knows how to pray, who walks with God and knows his name, and she's got an anointing on her. She has a relationship with Jesus, and that's going to be the key to these kids being back with us. Woo! Man, throw up the book of James, if you would. Sister Gwen, just briefly, James 2, verse 23. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. He had a relationship with God. He was called, capital F, the friend of God. I have people who contact me now with social media. You can't hide anymore. I've got people that I pastored churches later. I mean, different churches later. And they're looking me up. They're looking for help. They're looking for encouragement. They're looking. Sometimes it feels like I pastor a number of churches, but it's a privilege. I want to impact people. I want to love people. I want to bless people. I want to pray for people. I want to encourage them. You know what happened? We were friends years ago, and that friendship's never been thrown away. And so through friendship, you want to win somebody? Make a friend out of them. You want to win somebody? It won't happen through pressure. It won't happen through organizational or denominational stress. It'll happen when we build a relationship with them. Somebody say yes. This is why prayer is so vital. And there are days when I have to tone myself down, because I get so fired up. My wife has a phone that has this ringer tone, and it's on the highest. And we were standing in the kitchen about a day ago, and somebody called her, and this thing goes off. It's like an explosion. And she almost has a heart attack. I'm right behind her, and all it is her cell phone. It's just her cell phone, and she's afraid she won't hear it. You know, so it's up on the highest echelon of volume. And when it goes off, it's like the house is shaking, you know. My wife's phone is going off. I'm so glad she's going to answer it real soon, because if she doesn't, I'm going to have to go and see a chiropractor real soon. Hallelujah. It's amazing. I'm going to tell you what, as we pray and fast, God bless you. You know what we're doing? We're working on our relationship. Oh, would be to the Lord that we could be called the friend of God. The friend of God. I don't know if you remember this, but a couple weeks ago, it was one of them really hectic weekends. This was one of those really hectic weekends. I spent hours and hours on paperwork and different things. All of it was wonderful, though. But, it, you know, there's just stuff that has to be done. And so it was one of those hectic weekends. And I remember we went down to lead that prayer meeting in Lancaster. And we had this dynamic time with Brother Keller and his awesome family. You know, his daughter leads an entire division of young people in the United Pentecostal Church. And there were these people there, and we prayed. And I think I kind of half prayed, half preached. And Brother Nevin, I'm soaking, right? And I'm trying to get out to the car. And somebody got a hold of me. He doesn't know how to say goodbye in 5,000 words or less. And my head is wet, and it's one of those brutal days. It's like 10 degrees, 5 degrees, something like that. And I know I can't afford to be out in that kind of weather as soaked as I was. There was this precious brother. He was just a talk-o-matic. I don't know anybody like that, do you? Oh, forgive me, Jesus. So anyway, I'm trying to get to my car, and my head is wet. Anyway, I get back here. I got another prayer meeting that night right here. By the time I got into Sunday, I was so absolutely whipped and tired. Right? But I reared back, and I preached a message called The Life That Has No Morning. Didn't talk a lot about how I felt. Just reached down low in the well. And that message spoke to a lot of people. But listen to this. I hate it when I come into Sunday and I'm absolutely used up. Right? I hate that. Because I want to worship with a... I want to back up these musicians and these worship leaders. I want to give it my best shot. I want to dance. I want to praise. I want to be the best worshiper in the house if I can. I want to be, because I love it. I love it. I love all that we do. But when I finally got into the pulpit, I'm sure my message wasn't anything to write home about. But I tried to convince somebody, you've got another morning coming. I don't care what you've been through. You've got another morning coming your way. There's the dawning of a new day in your life. I don't care how depressed you've been, how many battles you've been in. You have another morning coming, because Jesus is alive. And he says, if you'll serve me, I'll rise like the Son of Righteousness in your life. Praise God. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. I was trying to convince people. Anyway, my phone, Brother Paul, started going off later that night into maybe the next 2 days, maybe 3 days. You know who it was? It was friends of mine who had told me they felt an impression to pray for me. And I got to thinking, God, you are so cool. I thought, why did they feel that? They were sending me little texts. One of them said we were praying before Sunday night service, and the Lord put you on my heart. I mean, we heard from three or four different people, and it was all basically the same thing. God put you on our hearts to pray for you. And I got to thinking, oh man, all of these are my friends. These are people that I've known for years, preached in their churches, and yes, I'm often praying for them. But the Holy Ghost put me Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you this. You are on God's watch list. You are not just anybody. You are a child of the Holy One of Israel. You have been born of water and spirit. You are the apple of his eye. He is looking after you. And there are people praying for you whom you never met. Lift your hands and let's bless the name of the Lord my God. Hallelujah. As our musicians come, oh, praise God. Oh, God, we take a few moments here. It's soaking Sunday. We're going to walk around this building and we're going to work on our relationship with God because that's what he's really after. Yeah. Soul winning. Harvest. Cut yourself back a little. Let Jesus be predominant. Let Jesus be prominent. Let Jesus stand forth. But let him use your words. And let him use the relationship that you have with him to touch the hearts of others. Hallelujah. If I heard Brother Mike correctly, he had about 3 like breakthroughs there in one day. Oh, praise God. Is that correct, Brother Mike? And it was when he got outside of himself. But you see, he's been renewed. He's been refilled with the Holy Ghost. He's been rebuilding his relationship with God. And that is the key to the harvest. In the name of Jesus. Couldn't figure my cat out. Jasmine's a spoiled little female who thinks she's a person. And we have these little sacred rituals that we do with her. When we finally lay down on our bed to go to sleep, there's room between our pillows. Jasmine will jump on the bed and come and get between those 2 pillows and then sit there and wait for me to stroke her. It's a little ritual we have. It's a little special thing. It happens every night. So I was stroking her. And then she attacked my arm. Now she can flip over into warrior mode in a millisecond. But it so blew my mind. I thought, what is wrong with you, you idiot? I'm stroking you. I'm loving on you. And you attack my arm. And I kept thinking, why did she do that? Why did she do that? I got up and she ran out of the room. I closed the door so she couldn't come back in. My wife said, oh, honey, don't do that. Don't do that. She can't, you know, don't do that. She stood outside our door whining and carrying on. I have to jump up, open the door, let her back in. My enemy. And I'm trying to think, because I spend half my day catering to her. When I get up in the morning, she lets me know it's time for me to show up at her food bowl, Gina, at her water bowl. She's ready for a snack. And when that's done, she's ready for me to open the door or the window by the dining, the little, you know, informal dining room. Open that window so she can get fresh air. Then we go over and sit down in the love seat. And it's time for me to play with her with my laser light or the little birdie that makes a noise when I flip them around on a pole. And then she'll sit there and look up at me like, are you ready, boss? Are you ready, grandpa? Are we ready to do this again? And I mean, I'm about worn out taking care of this cat. Why did this cat attack my arm? And then I thought, oh, wait a minute. I didn't give her that midnight snack. I thought, that's got to be it, because she's very fragile. Very. Like if you don't give her what she wants and you're going to give her something else, she'll sit and receive what you're going to give her that she doesn't want, but she'll sit with her back to you. Dude, it's unbelievable. This cat's like Einstein with a fur coat. I thought, I know what I did. I always give her a midnight snack. And then that night I just, you know, decided not to. And she was reminding me, boss, you missed something here in our relationship. I'm still healing up from the scars on my arm. You know what? That time alone with God. Abraham was an altar builder. He wants to be the God of Abraham to you. Isaac was the man who redug the wells. He wants to be the God of Isaac. But what was Jacob? Jacob was the man who wrestled all night with God. Instead of scheming, instead of planning and pulling strings and behind the scenes, if we would just seek God. Hallelujah. I believe there is a call that's going out. And this is what we're doing in this fast. We're working on our friendship with God. We're working on our relationship with God. And we're getting close to Him. Hallelujah. Do you remember Luke chapter 11 when he tells this amazing story? And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend. 3 different times. Hallelujah. When I was in Bible college and I left there and went into Europe and was behind out in Yugoslavia in some communist areas, in some dangerous places, and God's hand was on us. But when I got home, Sister Gina, people told me. One of them was the lady that worked at the rest home. She was, I believe, sweeping the floor that day because I worked there as a Bible school kid. She said she was sweeping the floor and the Holy Ghost spoke to her, pray for Mike Meadows right now. We said, we have this friendship. Oh, praise God. Lift your hand to the Lord with me if you would. Hallelujah. Are you where you need to be? Could this be the turning point? Do you see what's happening in Brother Mike's life? He's back on track with God. And he's growing daily. And he's building a prayer life. And he's redigging some wells. He's doing the Abraham, the Isaac, and the Jacob thing. He's wrestling with God for his direction and for sensitivity. And God is using him to impact others. Oh, friend, I'm going to open this altar. Does anybody want to deepen their relationship? Does anybody want to dust off some promises and get a little closer to God? Is there something that's been holding you back? I'm telling you, this is a special time in the history of our church. God wants to show himself strong. He wants to manifest himself to people who really hunger after his friendship. Jesus' name. Thank you, God. Working on my relationship. I want to know you. Paul said that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and in the fellowship of his sufferings, that I may know him. I want to know him better. I want to know him better. Oh, Lord, in this soaking prayer today, Lord, in this time briefly around this altar as well. Oh, Lord, I want a better friendship with you. I want a better relationship with you.